Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 8:07, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Now, here's what I never thought of. Hey, Bob, in the future, you'll be doing a lot of stories related to the WNBA, I'd say.
Right.
I mean, we don't do a ton of sports stuff anyway. You know, we the big stuff, you know, like when a kid steps up to the plate for the first time ever in the major leagues and hits not one but three straight home runs in a row. Yeah, we're going to talk about something like that. When it comes to our Florida Gators, oh, you betcha, we're going to be all over it. But the WNBA, nope, I wouldn't have predicted that. And if it wasn't for controversy, I mean, how much media coverage would they get?
Oh, my goodness.
So in many ways, the controversy has been, I guess, good for them overall. Maybe this is case in point. So a mom and a daughter were at the game, and a security guard came over and said, yeah, you need to cover your shirts or we're going to throw you out. Yeah. The mother is identified as Casey, her daughter Annie, attending Atlanta Dream versus Indiana Fever game, where they said security told them to cover up or they'd be booted from the arena. Okay. All right. We were just sitting there. I didn't make signs. They had these T-shirts on. It said XXXY.
Okay.
That is chromosomes, you know, boys and girls.
So it was a scientific shirt.
Well, yeah, I guess. The interesting thing was... one of the things coming out of it is the security guard that was told to go tell them to cover up or whatever, like, had no idea what was offensive about it.
Of course.
Well,
it's
really
not offensive.
Because it's not offensive.
Exactly. Come on, people.
So, yeah. And I thought, and this story broke, you know, yesterday, and or the day before, and I could have done it yesterday, and I'm like, okay, you know, we get what's going on there.
Yeah.
And here's what I thought. Wow. If they wanted them to cover their shirts because they didn't want people to see them that could be upset or offended or whatever, wait till everybody finds out that they were made to cover their shirts.
Yep.
That's going to have a far more detrimental effect than somebody going, hey, I didn't like that XXY shirt.
And here we are. Yeah.
And both the WNBA and Atlanta Dream criticized security at the Atlanta Gateway Center Arena for telling a mother and daughter to cover their XXXY athletics shirt in support of Indiana Fever star Sophie Cunningham. Now, how do you know it's in support for Sophie Cunningham? Isn't it just support that you're saying there's boys and girls? And it doesn't even necessarily mean... that you're for not having boys play in girls' sports.
Yeah,
I mean, that's kind of because it's pop culture or whatever. It's an issue right now.
Well, it's where they wore it, I think, is what really makes it connect.
Ah.
So wear it to a baseball game.
I mean, what if you say E equals MC squared? I mean...
Well, that's not really controversial in the WNBA right
now. So is XXXY controversial? Are people saying, oh, that chromosome thing is not a real identifier?
Well, they've made it controversial.
But is it a true accepted scientific identifier or not?
It should be.
It is.
Yes.
We know it is. E equals MC squared. You know, H2O. You know? One atom of hydrogen, two oxygen. I mean, it's...
No, I get it.
XXYY.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know why they wore it, but
sure
can you really look at that and be offended?
Well, you got people who want to be offended.
Yeah, I guess so.
There's those folks.
So anyway, they gave us T-shirts during the overtime. They told us to leave or cover up. We were just sitting there, and after massive pushback on social media, a WNBA spokesperson released a statement on Monday and said that the incident should not have happened. So here, see, the WNBA is going to be in a lose-lose position. They're better off just taking the stand that's based on logic.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want men playing in the WNBA? Yes or no? It's a simple question. It doesn't matter what the men consider themselves or how they dress. If they're biological males, they're biological males. Now, can you get anybody to agree on that? Let's set aside that what they think they are, what they are. You know, when a 7-foot, 260-pound man, you know, runs into you under the boards, I guess if you want to be considerate to the whole trans thing, you could say, well, you know what? I'm going to pretend like I was just bowled over by a petite 5'4" dainty little lady.
Uh-huh.
And will that work? Will your ribs magically heal? I mean, it's just a bizarro world.
Well, LeBron would flop, no matter who.
Well, that's true.
But only LeBron.
Yeah.
Some 78-pound gal could brush up against him, and he'd throw himself across the court.
So, yeah, he has his own, like, little fantasy thing going on there. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe he thinks it's sporty or something. It looks awful.
It looks so bad.
Yeah.
My dude, be a professional. Flop. Come on.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah. Oh. Slime ball. Slime ball alert. Beep, 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 beep. Eric Swalwell.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just picture him with that smirky smirk on his face?
Huh? Oh, can't stand it.
Okay, another one from the file of we told you a long time ago file.
Yeah.
Declassified files reveal Eric Swalwell admitted to sex with Chinese spy Fang Fang.
Gee, like we didn't know this how long ago?
I took Fang Fang out for a bang bang. Shrimp.
Oh, I like bang bang shrimp.
Fang Fang, uh-huh. Bang bang, shrimp.
There you go.
That's. I mean, did anybody not think that was the deal with this weirdo loser?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a perv. You think he's not going to go after the Chinese spy who was sent there to seduce his weird little pervy self.
Now, Bob, she was just being helpful. She even had a friend to help out in his office. I mean, she was just being nice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Uh-huh. The FBI developed evidence that a Chinese woman with direct ties to that country's intel service had potentially compromised a Democratic congressman from California with sex, foreign interns, and illicit donations while she was being recruited to become a bureau informant a decade ago, according to bombshell memos that expose another threat to America's political system from Beijing. So, no, this was much more than just him being Swalwell.
Yeah.
And just remember, this is the guy that when all this was going on and after, before he got completely busted by it all, who was preaching like he was all, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like he was on some moral high ground. And the way he, you know, talked about the president and things like that. And it's like, wow, this guy... What is this guy hiding? He's playing offense to protect himself, I guess, and it's pretty obvious that's what was going on. The files chronicling the relationship between Swalwell and Fang Fang, also known by her English name, Christine Fang, were declassified by President Trump, released Monday by the White House Government Transparency Task Force as part of a broader effort to unmask foreign threats to U.S. political and election systems. In other words, they want to make sure that you know, hey, this is another part of that asymmetrical warfare with China. You've got to be aware of what's going on around you. Who was it, Barbara Boxer a few years ago? Somebody tipped her off, or finally they realized that her driver for 20 years was a Chinese spy.
Whoops.
I mean, this is not new, and Beijing's not going to stop doing this kind of thing. And how, like, ignorant would you have to be to allow them to... I mean, it's one thing if it's somebody very, like, Americanized or whatever,
right.
But if you're able to infiltrate, and it's pretty obvious she's a Chinese national...
Mm-hmm.
You know, so by the way, the fallout, like the backlash or whatever, you think, actually it's Democrats defending Swalwell.
Oh, my goodness.
And saying the only reason they're putting this information out is because, you know, they just want to do damage or whatever to Democrats. It's like...
Or because it's true.
Or because there's national security issues at play here, much more important.
How about we take the same approach when we were all shocked to find out that congressional aides and staff get no background checks? How about your driver of 20 years, your assistants, your people who work in your office who have access to files? How about a little background check here, people?
Yeah, I mean, the Chinese are going to do what the Chinese Communist government does.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean we have to make it easy for them,
right.
Do we?
No.
All right. Byron Donalds, is today going to be the day for him? Or Will it be Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins or Paul Renner?
Yeah.
Or throw that fish back? 8:16 on the Bob Rose Show. It is Election Day. Get out there and vote. Only take a couple minutes. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Eight twenty-two on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Good morning. Hope all is well, my friends. Yep, we're talking trash. Trash Talking Tuesday, brought to you by Waste Pro, caring for our communities. And well, it's Election Day, so yeah, this will be the end of trash talking for a few hours.
A few hours. Yeah, until we're back tomorrow.
Well, we've got the big midterms coming up.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the other shows later in the day, they'll have their share of, you know, trash talking today too. They'll pick up the mantle and run with
it. That is true. And then tomorrow we'll go over all of the election results. I mean, from everywhere, but most importantly here in the Sunshine State, a lot of important races taking place in Texas. There's some interesting things going on there. Yeah. That they've got that nutbag James Tallarico who might actually, you know, Ken Paxton's got a fight on his hands.
Yeah, and that's the scary thought.
Yeah, and this is, you know, you only have two seats, no matter how big Texas is. You're just like every other state. You only have two Senate seats, so they're very important seats. John Cornyn, of course, is the, you know, the incumbent there, but he already lost the primary, so he's done. Mm-hmm. But apparently somebody from his team, a staffer, joined the enemy camp.
No.
Not Ken Paxton, enemy camp.
No.
Went to James Tallarico.
How do you do that? Seriously.
Well, I'm thinking money, but...
Well, yes. Well, then that shows who you really are.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. Well, you know what? If you're working on someone's campaign and Cornyn's already out...
Yeah,
and you still want to work on a campaign, but you'd think you'd go to work for the Republican. Otherwise, it makes it look like, well, you're just a campaign person, not a you don't really care about policy stuff.
How about some values here, you know?
Yeah.
No, apparently not.
Jacob Smith, who spent 5 years working for Cornyn. It's not like he just picked him up the other day, you know? As a deputy legislative director and policy advisor, now serving as Tallarico's deputy policy director. I've worked for Republicans like Senator Cornyn my entire career, but this year I'm proud to be joining James Tallarico's campaign.
Okay.
I wonder if there is a Fang Fang-like character in this story somewhere. I'm just wondering. What makes a man switch gears like that, huh? Mm-hmm. Always worked for Republicans.
Yeah, there's something going on.
Now all of a sudden he goes into the den of the enemy, the belly of the beast.
That's just wrong.
Yeah, why would he do that?
I don't get it.
Smith said that Tallarico focuses on issues affecting working Texans rather than partisan politics, and argued that the Democrat would work to bring down costs for Republicans, Democrats, and independents. Remember, you're working for a Democrat. He's a senator, so he will have an important vote in the Senate. And can you tell me what are the Democrat policies that are going to bring down costs and how they're affecting working Texans? Tell me how policies of the Democrats are going to impact Texans in a positive way. I'll wait for your answer. Remember, this is the same party, you know, under Joe Biden, that really they were ready to basically pull the plug on the oil and gas industry.
Yeah.
So,
put them out of business.
So, yeah, in Texas, you know, they don't take kindly to that kind of thing. And they don't necessarily have to work in the industry. They understand economically what a huge, important piece of everything that is in Texas. He also attacked, this guy did, Paxton, and urged other Republicans to vote against him. He said Ken Paxton is the most corrupt, self-dealing politician in Texas who would sell their futures to the highest contributor just to hold on to power. Now, think about who just said this. A person who got a slightly better position at the enemy camp. In other words, Could he be self-dealing? Could he be selling his future to the highest bidder, so to speak?
Sounds like an opportunist to me.
It does.
Yeah.
He said, I'm encouraging all my fellow Republicans who know Ken Paxton is unfit to serve in the Senate to finally hold him accountable at the ballot box. Before joining Cornyn's office, Smith worked for Representative Frank Lucas, a Republican out of Oklahoma, on the House Science Committee, and served as a legislative aide to Senator Roger Wicker, a Republican out of Mississippi. Wow. This comes after Paxton defeated Cornyn in a contentious Republican primary runoff earlier this year. Some Republicans have raised concerns that Paxton could make the normally Republican Senate seat more competitive because of controversy surrounding him, including a securities fraud case, his impeachment by the Texas House, and an extramarital affair. Paxton avoided a trial in the fraud case under an agreement that included community service. So all this stuff, though, came out in the laundry when he was going against Cornyn in the primary. So I don't think there's anything new to it. And it looks like Republicans made up their minds between the two. Although it was close, wasn't it? I believe it was a pretty close race. But Paxton is the guy, and he's the attorney general in Texas. And we'll see. This guy Tallarico, I mean, he's doing what all the Democrats are doing now. They're starting to make the big turn, the big shift. No, really, we're normal. We're normal. What? Uh-huh. AOC she's kind of led the charge, and she is the leader of the party, by the way.
Yeah.
Make no mistake about it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, defunding police. Oh, it was just, you know, a snapshot in time when things were, you know, tumultuous and COVID and all that was going on. So, you know, I didn't really mean it.
But you're in bed with the socialists now.
Well,
so you've got farther left.
Well, I mean, you know.
Yeah. Right. That.
Yeah. 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Happy Trash Talking Tuesday. Much more on the way. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. It's going to be another awesome day. Maybe a bit warm, but other than that, it is 8:35 on the Bob Rose Show. Actually, and Greg Cassidy is here, of course, and we were there for you then. That's when Greg, how many years ago? 9 years ago?
9 years ago, September, in the middle of a hurricane, I got hired here.
Yep.
Timing is everything.
And he's been here ever since, as have I, and we are very proud to bring you the latest, best information when it comes to hurricanes and nasty weather. We're on top of it with the Sky Storm Watch. Thanks to Area Rug Masters, Radiant Credit Union, and Best Restoration, the Masters of Disaster. Just a quick reminder, there is no activity, no disturbances at all between here and the African continent. I mean, it is, you know, blue skies. It's looking really good. Now, as you know, things can change, and we're still working toward getting in more of the heart of hurricane season where we tend to get, you know, more. But so far, so good. So let's be happy with that. You know, I do the same thing. Like, it's so hot, you know, and you complain, and you're like, yeah, but at least we're not, you know, preparing for something, you know, big and going to destroy part of our coastline and stuff.
Well, there is that.
Yeah, we don't like that.
And then those coastlines are important to a lot of folks around here.
Well, to everyone, yeah.
That's right.
It's important to Florida, tourism, people's homes, all of that. Yeah, all the above, no doubt. So, anyway, it's good news, and I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so the guy up in Michigan, that Al Sayed, apparently an aide that works for him, likens the GOP and Mike Rogers, you know, who's the Republican running against him. He was driving around in a old Ford pickup truck. I mean, a nice one.
Okay.
Mike Rogers was.
Okay.
With American flags in the back of it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. You know, yeah, it's an antique Ford truck. Years on trucks, not as good. Looks like 40s, 1940s era.
Oh, wow. Classic stuff.
Painted red, big fat white wall tires. It's red. It's beautiful. And two two American flags coming out of the back of the bed there.
Okay.
And so one staffer who works for Al Sayed, he said that Mike Rogers' campaign has the aesthetics of a 1960s white flight suburb and a KKK cross burning.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Trying way too hard here.
Now, he serves as Al Sayed's political manager in the northern part of Michigan. And the campaign came out right away and said, oh, he speaks for himself. He doesn't speak for the campaign. It's like, yeah.
Nice try.
That's easy. Yeah, it's easy to say. No, when you're in that position, you are speaking for the campaign.
Absolutely.
Rogers' campaign seized on the post, accusing this guy Pressler of thinking that driving a Michigan-made Ford truck is akin to the KKK.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
The campaign also added old Ford trucks to its running list of things that Al Sayed hates. You know, like football. Remember that was one of them?
Toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
Right. Even though he played football.
Look, and you know, one of the other things that this guy, to his detriment, I mean, he has buddies. He is this campaign with this guy, Hassan Piker. He's the guy that said America deserved 9/11.
Yeah.
He praised Mao Zedong and communist China, and he argued that capitalists should be murdered in the streets. And he's spewed a litany of anti-Semitic comments. Now, this has taken place over a period of a few years.
Sure.
But
doesn't make it okay.
No, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that he's definitely, you know, disavowed any of these things. I don't think he has. But, this Al Sayed, I mean,
bad news.
He's not the guy.
No.
Mike Rogers should win, but since we don't live in a logical world anymore,
true,
anything is possible. And by the way, today is election day. This is a big day in Florida, especially, man. We're going to decide who the Republican candidate is going to be for governor. Mm-hmm. And that is a big, big deal. Some of your other top stories. Iran's foreign ministry said Monday that this back channel communication, this negotiation that the president has alleged is taking place. It's fabricated.
Oh, of course.
According to Iran and their foreign ministry, he's calling the reports fabricated. Okay. But they have a state-run media. I mean, everything they put out is propaganda and fabricated. The report on back-channel communications published by Axios on Sunday said the former director of national intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, set up the line of communications in May using the president of Iraqi Kurdistan, Barzani, as a go-between. According to the report, Barzani used his ties with the IRGC to get in touch with its leader, General Vahidi. Vahidi said he supported the work of Iran's negotiators, including the foreign minister and parliament speaker. Barzani relayed the message back to Gabbard, providing important information at a time when many observers thought the IRGC was working to sabotage negotiations. That is something that I speculated on as well. It was also unclear at the time whether any of the representatives of Iran's secular government had any real power to make an agreement with the United States. So, again, you know, we're just in that, I don't know to call it anything else, sort of a holding pattern right now.
Yeah.
And then the latest debate is Iran says the Strait of Hormuz is closed. President Trump says it's open. President Trump also said this.
We have a blockade. We control it with a blockade. And I like the idea of declaring it a territory.
So, I mean, you know, he says it's wide open, but they have the blockade in force, protecting ships. I know there are ships traversing it. I couldn't give you a count. I'm certain that it is nowhere near what it is supposed to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is activity there. A British ship was hit, I guess it was yesterday. And they weren't exactly sure, that some kind of projectile, but they didn't identify it further. And it did some damage to, I guess, the engine room. But, you know, that was about it. It wasn't major, per se.
Right.
And that's all they identified, like a projectile.
Huh.
I mean, who's firing projectiles at British ships?
Only so many people.
Well, I mean, you know, it could be the Houthis.
Right.
But what difference does that make? They're just operating as a proxy of the Iranian government. It's Iran. When I boil it down, that's the deal. All right, so that's where we're at on that. And as I just mentioned, President Trump doubling down on declaring the Strait of Hormuz a U.S. territory, asserting that Washington has total control of the waterway as Tehran threatened a military attack to break the blockade. He said, I think it's a great idea, Trump told reporters. And and that's basically what he said in his in the audio piece that we had there. All right. There's more stories on the WNBA, it seems like, in that controversy.
Absolutely.
Than there is,
the election.
Yeah.
We went years never even mentioning them. But Caitlin Clark kind of changed all that. And then Sophie Cunningham jumped on board. And then all the wackadoodles that are in there kind of put them in the headlines.
And then Caitlin Jenner has weighed in.
Oh.
For those of you who live in a time warp, that's the former Bruce Jenner.
Yes.
Former Olympian and famously transitioned person Caitlin Jenner calling out the hypocrisy of the WNBA over the league's policy about transgenderism. Appearing on Fox, Jenner ripped the league. The former gold medal winner who transitioned in 2015 also reacted to announcements by former NBA players Enes Kanter Freedom and Royce White about their plans to declare for the WNBA draft. Jenner thinks there's a simple solution for all of it. He says they're showing the hypocrisy of what's going on out there in the WNBA. They've had their meetings on the issue, and Kathy Engelbert, the head, says, we talked about the trans issue, but we haven't come up with a conclusion at this point. We'll continue the conversation. There's been memes out about that.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's the WNBA trying to figure out the definition of a woman.
Haven't we been there, done that a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I thought so.
I mean, you know. It gets you in the Supreme Court, but, you know, and on the court, I guess. I don't know.
Mm. All right. We've got more top stories, more headlines coming your way, and special guest. Start out the 9 o'clock hour, our friend Mark Herman, how important it is to take care of our waterways, especially the oceans. I'll let him talk about it coming up in about 20 minutes on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It's another wonderful day, my friends. Seize the opportunity. Make something of yourself, young man. I've heard that before.
Thanks, Grandpa. I'll bet you did.
Yeah, who referred to me as the turd.
Wow.
And didn't realize it's at first because I'm the third.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but he called me the turd. I'm like, why does Grandpa not like me? Good morning and welcome. 8:51 right now. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Another scam.
Wow.
It is like scam city. I mean, everywhere you go.
You can't believe anything.
Well, there's scams. There's this fraud. There's insiders doing it, outsiders doing it. This one is a federal jury convicted a Georgia man of laundering more than $2.7 million stolen from victims through online fraud schemes. Babaji Adesayo, 41, of Douglasville, was found guilty after an eight-day trial. The jury convicted him on two counts of conspiracy to commit money laundering, 16 counts of transactional money laundering. The U.S. government source confirmed that he's an American citizen who became naturalized in 2015. The fraud operation ran from April of 2020 through September 21, with scammers posing online as friends, business associates, or romantic partners to gain their victims' trust. And he was a key member of a complex transactional network that preyed upon elderly victims and siphoned their retirement savings overseas, mainly to China, Hong Kong, and Nigeria, to make recovery impossible. As a prolific money launderer, he facilitated the theft of nearly $3 million from victims, continued even after he was indicted, arrested, and released on bond.
Wow.
Now behind bars awaiting a significant sentence. I hope it is significant. Yep. Prosecutors said that the scammers built relationships with their targets before asking for money under false pretenses. They claimed, among other things, they needed business equipment, had been jailed, or were dealing with medical problems. You know, as much as we try to warn people about these kinds of scams, people get roped in all the time.
They're so good.
And they become
really
victims.
Are.
Yes. They are your friend. They're your buddy. Nobody else is paying much attention to you. Family members don't call you as often as this friend, or, you know, or send emails or texts back and forth. This, you have found a real friend. Uh-huh. And wouldn't you want to help your friend if they're in need? Look, I just need some business equipment to, you know, to get this thing off the ground. If only I had that, man, I could be making big money. Of course, I would help out anybody who helps me out, et cetera. I mean, they have
yes,
everything.
They know what they're doing.
Every kind of line there is, and especially, you know, the elderly get roped into this, and it's hard to discuss. First of all, there's a lot of this goes on. And it's never reported because the people are so embarrassed that they got taken.
They've lost thousands and thousands.
Look, you have to start like this. You have to start with a New York, what I call a New York attitude.
Yeah.
It starts like this. You don't trust anybody. Everybody's out to get you.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to take advantage of you. They want to take your money. You have to start out like that. Oh, no, it's sad.
It is.
It's sad that that's what you have to do, but you really do. And here's the thing. Now with AI.
Oh, my goodness.
We all think we're smart. Well, our own company busted us, you know, phishing, reeled me in, and I warned Greg, and even Greg got caught. Now, different circumstances, but the bottom line is the pros are really good at it.
Yes,
our company was just trying to give us a fair warning of the kinds of things that we might see, and it was a good warning. It was like, wow, that was totally believable, totally believable. And anybody can get taken, and then they send the money. You can't even catch these guys. You bust them if you can, and then you never see your money again. That's gone. That's offshore. Now, and then there's also a greed factor. Some people think they're going to get, you know, they're going to get rich off of it. They're told some sob story, but you know, all I got to do is get into that bank account.
Easy
you know,
money.
All I got to do is pay that one tax in the kingdom, and just, you know, I'm the prince. And once I'm restored to my, you know, regular,
it's amazing how many princes are in Nigeria. It really is amazing.
Yes,
they're like all royalty.
There's like a million of them.
A million princes in Nigeria.
And how do you tell people, you know, don't be a sucker, don't fall for that? You know, and if it's like your elderly parents, you know, and depending on their age and their cognitive abilities, you know, no matter what, they're always going to think of you as the child, the kid. You'll never know more than they will.
Well, and remember how they've done with the whole AI audio sounding like a family member. Your granddaughter got arrested and she needs money now. And come on, you need to help me, Grandma. I mean, we've seen that multiple times.
That actually happened to us, something similar to that, 15 years ago, I think.
Wow, before AI.
Yeah, and we were just, you know, we couldn't get a hold of her on the phone. We called her boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it turned out, you know, everything, she was safe and sound. Everything was fine. It was totally a scam. But let me tell you, man, how your heart races thoughts that go through your mind. It is one of the most frightening things for a parent, you know, to go through. That's and it sounded like believable. I mean, I'm no sucker.
Right.
And, it.
Almost
traumatic, like, really, PTSD.
Yeah.
From something like that. But thank the good Lord. Ugh.
That is awful.
All right. 9 o'clock stretch is coming up. Our friend Mark Herm is going to be in. He's going to explain what CCA is all about, why it's important, and maybe there's something in it for you. It could be.
Oh.
Stay tuned, my friends. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and you are listening to 97.3 The Sky.